Amen. Hebrews chapter 9, please. As we saw last week in Hebrews chapter 9, God made it very clear that without shedding of blood, there is no remission. And we looked at the powerful, amazing blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And here toward the end of the chapter, God reminds us that every human, with the exception, as we'll see, of some, has death to face. And that takes us to chapter 9:24, is where we start. The Bible says, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For them must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." So the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die. Let's pray. Lord, use your word in our hearts this evening to teach and grow us. We thank you for it. And we commit this to you. May you be glorified and guide us. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So as we see here, the Lord Jesus Christ, again, we're reminded he is our high priest. He is interceding for us in heaven, as it says there in verse 24, to appear in the presence of God for us. Jesus Christ is our intercessor. That is the primary focus of the whole book of Hebrews, is the high priestly ministry of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we're told in 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. He is our mediator. He is the intercessor between us and God. And the Bible tells us there in verse 26 that he made this possible by putting away sin. Notice it says, for then he must often have suffered since the foundation of the world. It says if it was like it was in the Old Testament days, Jesus would have to keep dying and dying and dying. But it says, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away the sin by the sacrifice of himself. It only took once because it was all sufficient. The high priest, what he did, he had to go in and offer the blood of an animal, but he was a sinner. Jesus Christ is sinless. And when he died and offered his blood, it was the blood of a perfect person. So he was our perfect substitute. Notice Hebrews 10:10, where the Bible tells us, for the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Hallelujah. He only had to die once. As it says in our passage, Hebrews 9:26, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now, last week we saw the focus on his blood, which is part of what we remember in the Lord's Supper. But now it's talking about the sacrifice of himself, which is when we partake of the bread in the Lord's Supper, his body. Both were necessary for our redemption. The shedding of his blood, but also the sacrifice of, as we see here, himself. If you would go back to Ephesians 5, and we'll see where God talks about this. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. That Jesus Christ not only offered his blood for our redemption and salvation, but also himself. As we read in Isaiah, that God saw the sacrifice of his soul and he was satisfied. Notice Ephesians 5, 2. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Himself. So we need to let that word sink into our hearts tonight. That Jesus Christ gave himself. Not of himself. He gave himself for us. And if you go back to Isaiah 53, which is the gospel of the Old Testament, chapter 53 and verse, Where am I here? Verse 10 and 11. The Bible says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin." So notice the soul of Jesus Christ, which is that's who we are, that's our person. His soul became an offering. Look over in verse 11 of the same chapter. "He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied." It's talking about our Heavenly Father saw the travail of Jesus, the sacrifice of himself, and he was satisfied. We talked last week about that word propitiation, which means satisfaction. That God was satisfied with Christ's offering as complete payment for our sin. Verse 27 of our passage. So all of those things Jesus did for us, and then God reminds us, verse 27, "It is appointed unto men once to die." Physical death. The one thing that man fears the most is the one thing that man cannot stop. That's death. Isn't that interesting? If you go to Psalm 89, David talked a bit about this. Psalm 89, verse 48. Talking about the fact that every person will have to face this. Psalm 89, 48, David wrote, "What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave?" It's a rhetorical question. In other words, we can't. We can't buy it. We can't stop it. We all are going to face death. And the world knows this too. And they're afraid. You know, we as Christians, we aren't afraid because we have the Lord. They're afraid of death, but they aren't interested in the solution because it requires repentance. And they don't want to let go of their sin. So people always say, "Well, what about Enoch and Elijah? What about them? There's two humans." Because there's other humans that were brought back to life, but they still had to face death, right? Take Lazarus, for example, others that were raised from the dead by Jesus and Paul and Peter. But there were those two men, Enoch and Elijah, that did not face physical death. They were translated. And the answer to that is they represent the exception that's yet to come, which is the rapture. Because if Jesus raptures before we die, then we are the exception. Amen? We won't have to face physical death. We will just be taken away. How exciting will that be? So all men except Christians who get to be part of the rapture, which Enoch and Elijah represent, will face death. Now, spiritual death is what Jesus destroyed through what he did. The Bible tells us spiritual death was something we all inherited, right, from Adam. We're told in Romans 5:12, "As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin." And so death passed upon all men. So every person inherited spiritual death. Death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. But the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:26, "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." Jesus destroyed spiritual death, which is why we're told that we, as believers in Jesus Christ, will never die. John 11:26, "He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die." So we will never face spiritual death if we're born again because we have eternal life. The unsaved, unfortunately, they get to die twice. They get to die physically and then face eternal separation from God, which is eternal death, spiritual death. So everybody's going to face the physical death, except, of course, for Christians that are raptured. But what comes after all of that? Verse 27, the judgment. Now, this is true for every single human being, saved and unsaved. Will face judgment. Now, thankfully, there are different judgments. Hallelujah. We as Christians will face what's referred to as the judgment seat of Christ. And we'll look at Romans 14 and see that. And this is something that we will face immediately after we leave this earth to determine not whether or not we could go into heaven, that's already been determined, but to determine our rewards. Notice Romans 14, 10, why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And this is detailed for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 11 to 15, where God talks about how our works will be judged. Some will be wood, hay, stubble. Some will be gold, silver, precious stones. It never says our sins will be judged. That happened at Calvary. Amen? Those are gone. Our works will be judged. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5, 10, we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So that's all of us that are born again will face the judgment seat of Christ. Now the unsaved are going to face a much more somber judgment, if you will. If you go back to Ecclesiastes, God hinted at it in the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and that is what we refer to now as the Great White Throne Judgment. That's because God mentions the Great White Throne. But here in Ecclesiastes 12, as the frustrated preacher was finishing his book, notice what he said. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So everybody's going to face judgment. The Christians are going to face the judgment seat of Christ. The unsaved are going to face the Great White Throne Judgment, which we read about in Revelation chapter 20. It says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The dead. That's not us. We're alive. We have eternal life in Jesus Christ. The dead, small and great, are going to stand before God. And the Bible says, and the books were open, and it says, the dead shall be judged out of those things which are written in the books. Now, we don't know for sure what's in those books, but I think we can pretty accurately guess that it's our sin, or that's their sins. And that will be their final condemnation, and then they will be, of course, cast into the lake of fire. But Jesus Christ, as we go back to our passage, as we see, made it possible for us to avoid this spiritual death. As it says in verse 28, he was once offered, which we already talked about the once, to bear the sins of many. So when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he gave his blood to pay for our sins. He gave his soul as an offering for sin himself. But he also became sin. And this is hard for us to get our heads around. How the perfect Son of God could become sin, but he did. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he hath made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus became sin. Think about that. Which is why for those 3 hours, the sky went dark in the middle of the day, because the Heavenly Father had to turn his back on sin. And that's when Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He went through all of that for you and me. He became sin. And he cried on the cross, why hast thou forsaken me? And for that short time, Jesus Christ experienced what every unsaved person will experience for eternity, which is separation from the Heavenly Father. He had to experience it to make full payment for what we owe for our wickedness. So he bore the sins of many. And as it says there in verse 28, unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. Hallelujah. And if we will be looking for him, I think we'll be very blessed. Amen. Because there's going to be some Christians, if you go to 1 John chapter 5, there's going to sadly be some Christians, and I'm not talking about the unsaved. I'm talking about Christians who will be ashamed at the return of Jesus Christ. And I thought it was in chapter 5. Not be ashamed before him at his coming. Not be ashamed before him. Anybody know what verse that is? Not be ashamed before him at his coming. I thought it was chapter 5, but now I'm not finding it. Did anybody find it on their smartphone?
1 John 2:28.
Okay. Thank you very much. 2:28. And now let us turn and abide in Him, that when He shall appear, look what it says, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Will there be some Christians who are not abiding in Christ when He blows the trumpet? Yes. And will they be ashamed? Of course. Will they still get to go to heaven? Of course. Because that has nothing to do with our behavior. It has to do with Jesus. So much better to be looking for Him, expecting Him to come. The Bible says, every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as he is pure, 1 John 3:3. If we truly believe Jesus is coming back at any moment, we're going to be ready. We're going to prepare ourselves. We're going to expect it and look for it. But God is reminding us about the inevitability of death and how to avoid spiritual death, which is through the person and the sacrifice and the blood and the substitute of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, all for us, that we might avoid the second death. And who knows, maybe we get to follow in the path of Enoch and Elijah and even avoid the first one through the rapture. Either way, we get to be with Jesus. Amen. It's appointed unto men once to die. Let's pray.